Yeah, I'm gonna test it today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's brand new. It's the slowest laptop I've ever seen.
I guess a lot of bloatware on it.
Well, we can go ahead and get started, and if I can get it pulled up on.
Okay. Go back to, try to open that with Fox. It's Fox It.
Special meeting to order. Can you please call roll?
Temple?
Here.
Kuchar?
Here.
Bronson?
Here.
Riddle?
Here.
King?
Here.
Kukoski? Lavender?
Here. All right. The reason for this special city council meeting is to review the organizational analysis that the city council contracted Romberg and Stover to do for the city and to sort of go through the recommendations that the committee passed on to the council. And I think, Joe, you were assigned to be the chair on this one. Mm-hmm.
Well, just a little background.
Yes.
With the council contracted to do an organizational analysis of the city and basically the entire organization to see how things were working at the city, how it existed. And with that, they did a lot of information gathering, they did a lot of interviews, and then everybody got the organizational analysis draft that Romberg gave to us. And then he recommended that the committee come up with a proposed action plan, so it's just not a analysis, so a lot of the things that were discovered could be addressed. So we did that, so we got together and we consulted with Romberg several times over the phone. And he's available for phone calls too from anyone at council, the Romberg and Stover and Associates who did the organizational analysis. So it might be helpful too if anybody wants more background to give him a call. Because sometimes the analysis was a little vague. So with that, we got together and we came up with some ideas, and we wanted to bounce it off the rest of the council. And obviously, this is a draft proposal. We understand that not everything in here will be liked, not everything in here will be addressed, but it's a start. And we feel like the city is, there's a lot of positive things going for the city right now, and we feel there's a lot of good direction with the city. But we also feel like if the city was a lot busier and there was a lot more development going on, I don't think the city's in a good place to facilitate a lot of growth and activity. So that's kind of where we're at. And I don't know, Nick and Nate, you can add to that.
Well, I guess just to add to it, what Joe's kicking on is, just like he said, that this is, we wanted to make sure that we had the ability to have council's input. This is going to be council and staff's action plan, not the committee's action plan, but we needed the draft to go off of, essentially doing what we did with the information that Romberg gave us in his their analysis. This, we basically cliff noted it into a direction, a potential direction that we could take. And this, I guess this meeting would be ideal to hear what people's thoughts are on what what the, I guess, suggestions that we put out for each of these bullet points. It's what led us down the path originally to have an organizational analysis is what I recommend the council think of. Why? Why did we do that to begin with? To figure out where we could be more efficient, where there may be deficiencies in communication. We've had some turnover of staff as far as that goes. And are we understaffed, overstaffed, where without a third-party eye looking at it every once in a while, it's difficult to get some monotonous on information as far as that goes. Yeah, I guess we, other than that, unless Nate has or Mark has anything to add?
I'll add something to another observation and everything like that is, as Joe mentioned, the possible growth that, you know, could be on our doorstep is being ready to go for it. And we do have some things that are kind of out of date with the city as far as procedures. A lot of things that we are improving now, available to do some online billing and stuff with our water department, that kind of stuff. It's a big improvement. But to streamline some things, and a lot of that comes from, you know, we as a council might have to make that tough choice to purchase new equipment, renovate things, this and that, to make things easier to use for our staff. And also training. Training's going to be, you know, when we put something like this out here, just to say it, with no guidance is tough to do. So being, you know, if we do buy new equipment, new software, things like that, being properly trained on it, how to implement, and all the staff understanding, you know, how to use that to better serve our residents, you know, communicate with council on what needs to be done. That was a big part of this study as well. So we don't have another thing too is delegation of duties, who does what, understanding that, scheduling through the day to be more efficient. And you know, sometimes we as a council, I mean personally, that we ask for things, sometimes it's a very slow-moving process, and, you know, sometimes it'd be as easy as a click of a mouse if you know how to do that. And me coming from a technology background and going into places, kind of renovating and redoing the systems and the infrastructure and how that's done, yes, it does take some work off the get-go, but then that improvement, you know, is going to make everybody's job a lot easier, and that communication level is going to be there. So that was a part of my jumping into this committee and wanting to be a part of it. I know that we can get this done in a reasonable amount of time. And also as a council member too, that I want to back up and support our staff in any way that we can to make this an easier process. But we can't just sit and plan around it. We do need to take some action on it.
Just for my information, so Romberg sent out a survey to everybody, council,
yes,
and all staff members,
yes,
and that was returned, and then they did interviews with how many people?
25.
Okay,
25
people. So
they interviewed all council members, all of management other than Greg Cox, which I'm not sure how we missed that, but and then some sporadic.
But it sounds like a good portion of the staff is,
yeah,
included.
Very much so.
And there was a county person talked with also.
Prosecutor.
Yes.
Prosecutor.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
So you just want to get in this? I think what our vision is we would like to get council's input on the proposed action plan. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be proper to then, once we do it, send it to staff for them to review, make changes, suggestions, and then come back with the final plan for adoption.
Okay.
Because obviously, we're not going to be the ones implementing it. It's going to be mostly on town shoulders to implement it. But also, he's going to have to get with, you know, different department heads and see what's realistic and what's, you know, how it can be implemented.
Right.
So that's a thought. That's just so on the, I guess, starting with the organizational audit, there was basically 6.5 pages of true recommendations of change for the city. And if you go to the, I don't think you have it up there, Dan.
No, I'm still trying to open it.
You have the wrong word.
I'm going to spin this around so people can see.
Okay. So the number one recommendation was to establish the assistant city manager position. Now, if you look at the current makeup of the city manager, right now our city manager is city manager, city assessor, planning, zoning administrator, and I believe DDA.
DDA.
That's a lot of titles for the city manager. That's not very common for any city of our size across the spectrum. So I think that's where the recommendation from Romberg came, is to establish an assistant city manager position. So our recommendation was to, because the feedback from Romberg was that there really wasn't any job descriptions that were delivered or made for most of the department staff or heads. So that was kind of the first list. Before we go ahead, and our thought was before you establish the position, you kind of inventory what's there and who does delegate what duties are there. So that was the first step. So the committee, and this whole plan was run past Romberg too before we finalized the draft. And he concurred with some of the recommendations and talking points. So each of that bullet points, we just said the management get together, come up with exactly what duties for each department, and draft each department head's job description. I don't think that, to my knowledge, city doesn't have that now, do we?
We have some, yeah.
But it's kind of scattered.
How dated are they?
Not very much so. I mean, they're at least 10 years old, the existing ones that we have. I mean, there's a city manager job description, a DDA director job description. But there is not a, director of public safety job description. There is an ordinance, but there's no job description for the director of public safety. That sort of thing.
I have a question about the first element here, I guess, for the committee. Is they're talking about an assistant city manager, but is there also the possibility of changing the current city manager's job so there aren't so many hats there?
Well, that was kind of the first step, because we said consider all of what duties are there now, and then evaluate and consider all, and bullet point E, it says consider all the duties that are currently part of the city manager position and how duties should be divided internally now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to spin off of it almost a little bit, because more or less all of the items that come below this at a later date all are going to be relied on the city manager implementing them and maintaining that and directing it. So I've had the conversation even with Tom in the past, and we know that you have a lot on your plate, and we're trying to figure out what's the best way we can get you help. That's what we need to determine. This is a starting point for that, as far as that goes. And because at the end of the day, all of the things that happen below you, you're the CEO of the company. It all comes to your feet. Everything below you comes and lands in your lap. And if you run the office, you run the whole ship, essentially. You have those department heads to delegate underneath you. So if you somehow there's a breakup in there, whether you don't have enough time or the people to delegate to, we got to figure that out so that at the end of the day, you can operate as efficient as you need to operate. You know, when you took over as city manager, how long? 3 years ago? Ish?
Yeah, 3.5. Yeah.
I mean, the conversation we had, I sat in the room with you. Rich was in the room with us. When it's like, okay, this is, you're the CEO, you know? This is a lot. That's a lot to take out. So that's kind of what drives everything underneath this. So establishing a city manager's job duties and descriptions to where it's comfortable to, be able to handle your workload efficiently, that's the key, the first starting process for us, I think, is to figure that out. What can you take off, or what do you need to take off of your plate, or any city manager in the future's plate, so that you can do your job efficiently, essentially? Because mm-hmm. it doesn't do you anybody any good for you to be backlogged and to not be able to do things as quickly as they need to be done. So this is a tool. This will end up being a tool for the city manager and the staff, and a path for the councils in the future, city managers and staff in the future to use, I think. That's the idea.
Good.
Yeah. 2 points. When Tom became city manager, previous to that he was the city assessor. And at the time when you became city manager, we maintained the city assessor because you were not sure whether it was going to be a fit. Mm-hmm. And you wanted to be able to slide back into that position if it became necessary to do that. You didn't want to burn your bridges, those kind of things. So mm-hmm. that was kind of a temporary situation. So that is one thing that can be addressed. So we do separate the assessor and the city manager. That will free up some time. Also, from the DDA perspective, there is discussion going on about the possibility of there being a full-time DDA director. That's all kind of in flux. Mm-hmm. And that's also another area that would free up a lot of time. The one thing that I don't know is, one, how much time do you spend doing assessor responsibilities? How much time do you spend doing DDA responsibilities? How much time in the different areas? I think we have to look at that to see what is drawing your time away and how we can make those changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's another way of looking at it rather than one adding another position. I'm in agreement. If we need to add another position as an assistant, I'm in agreement with that. But I think that there's another way of looking at that on those options in terms of, are you in a good position where you want to be as city manager, or do you want to go back into that assessor area? That would be a question to ask you.
Well, I know that the discussion initially from the committee and with Romberg, that the idea wasn't to please find where we're deficient and where we need to hire people. That was not the intent to go into this, for sure. We realize, I think we all realize, that we're working with a budget as well. We can't
sure.
just create money. And anything that we take in creating another permission and at the end of the day becomes more money, and if it's a full-time position and fringe benefits to go along with that, is going to take from something else. So we have to be, at the same time, conscious of that, of how we, that's why the discussion, it's not going to be just a quick decision.
Well, we also brought on board a part-time assessor to take a little bit of that pressure, and he has done some wonderful things. But that being said, if we had a full-time assessor that we relieved those duties, then we're kind of halfway there initially. So I don't see any of that in this report, any of those
bullet point says comprehensive review of the current city manager.
That's where
okay.
I think we need to start as a council is essentially just what we've been discussing for 5 minutes.
Right.
We need to figure out what Tom does on a daily basis, and really what can we take away or have to take away in order for him to be able to operate efficiently. As simple as that. Some of this discussion throughout this whole thing is not going to be comfortable for anybody really to hear. It's just one of those things, and it's not personal at any level. It's just we want to be able to work as efficient, and it'll make everybody's life easier at the end of the day. It'll make us run better, more efficient, and it makes everybody's job coming to work a lot more pleasant. I mean, I get phone calls from staff that things aren't going right. So let's try and figure out a way that what's the best route.
And another thing to add, with so many responsibilities of the manager position, it's also meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting,
yeah,
that, you know, when there's other things coming on, and with the city, this, like, it's a public service, and sometimes things happen you don't plan for. And when those things hit, you know, it's so easy to get backlogged and overwhelmed with all that stuff. And then, you know,
sure,
majority of your day is spent with meetings that sometimes can run too long and don't get to the point. Is that time is extremely valuable. So if we had another, you know, position that could handle those things and take care of that, I think that would free up so much for the manager position, just to be able to manage, which is the job.
Well, and my thought process on this, in like what he said, if creating a position is the end game here, and that's what we come to the conclusion is the only way to do this, good. But I think that we start with letting Tom be the CEO and reorganizing, if he sees fit, how this is handled, how his job duties are handled. And that's the first opportunity, basically, is to figure that out. So establishing an assistant city manager position might be a position. It might be delegating duties differently. It might be restructuring the office situation. Whatever comes to the light of this whole discussion, I think will be that's what that number one bullet point is, essentially.
And if you look at our proposed action plan, it doesn't start with hiring an assistant city manager. That's the bullet point that Romberg pointed out that should happen, number one. But as a committee, we said there's all these different steps to do prior to even going that route. So it was have all department heads meet and determine job descriptions, duties, a comprehensive review of the current city manager, possibility of appointing a council committee for either to assist with that or a performance review. We do recommend that the assessing position be contracted and that duty be moved away from the city manager currently. Evaluate the duties of the DDA director, which Tom is now, and see how that maybe could fit with the downtown development coordinator. Consider all duties that are currently part of the city manager position now and how it can be divided. And then draft a job description before even considering posting the position for assistant city manager. That's kind of where we were at.
Yeah.
And
well,
then,
go ahead.
And then we had a couple talking points. Some discussion input from management, council, staff, etc. Should one staff person be made an administrative assistant at City Hall? Or should the position for assistant city manager be considered also a planning and zoning administrator? So those were talking points that we didn't really have any direction on, but maybe through this process and sending it off to Tom and staff to examine before adoption, I think that might be something to consider.
Well, one of the problems that I have in thinking about separating Tom from the assessor is that he is a darn good assessor. He is really good at doing that job. So, it's hard to think of someone else going into that position. But I think we really need to look at, because they are both full-time positions, and we really have to look at making some changes there.
Mm-hmm. But one thing that this doesn't show, and what the job description will show, is we don't have an analysis of how much time is spent doing that.
Right.
And we don't have an analysis of how much percentage of overall time is spent with the DEA.
Well, and how much and what percentage of his salary goes to that,
right.
essentially. So, you know, at some
sure.
level we have to figure out the dollars have to go with the time at some level, no matter what position it is. That's
mm-hmm.
the end.
You had a comment, Tom?
Yeah, and it might take me some time to lay out exactly the times I spend on each position, but as far as the DDA, I mean, it's mainly meeting time that I'm involved with the Main Street program and the DDA meetings themselves, and we have some subcommittees and so forth like
right.
that. So it is time consuming on a meeting standpoint. I don't do a lot of paperwork related to the DDA. Kirsten does that. But still, I mean, I spend 10 hours a week just on DDA meetings and you know, staff-related programs related to the DDA.
So a quarter of your time.
Well, I'm pretty certain he doesn't put a 40-hour week as all, right? When's the last time you had a 40-hour week?
I already got 40 hours in this week.
Right. That's what we're
no,
getting. I think we know that.
Right.
I think that that's where we're at.
Yeah.
A quick question for you, Tom. The redevelopment ready community, is that city manager responsibility, or is that tied in with the DDA?
No, it's a citywide program. And
okay, so that's city manager based.
Yes, it's really more of a planner based. So that's what we don't have. We don't have a city planner, zoning administrator. I'm it. That's really something. Redevelopment Ready Communities, Michigan Main Street programs. I mean, that could be a combination of DDA and a city planner. That should be working on those types of programs. That's what most other municipalities do, but we don't have those positions here. They're me. And the other thing to consider is, you know, I use Williams office equipment, office supply, and Jason Strait a lot for IT type related stuff. I used to do a lot more IT stuff when I was just the city assessor. I did a lot of IT work, and I don't do that much anymore, but there's a huge need for that, for website management, just networking, you know, maintenance and assistance, and social media. I mean, there's another need there that I spend maybe 8 to 10 hours a week on that type of stuff. You know. So I think for the council to evaluate all of that, I need to lay out what kind of hours I spend on that. And, you know,
we have to know. The council has to know whether we form a committee to meet with you to develop that and bring that back to the next one of these meetings with the full council, or if it needs to be done
sure.
at a meeting like this. But yeah, your input needs to be done first. You need to be able to put that stuff on paper, I think. And it was going to kick in this is the time we need to talk about this. With the discussion of potentially moving to Michigan Main Street level and the next level and hiring someone there, I know the county has had some discussion with the Port Initiative group that was at there. There was, I don't know what the job description there were, the discussion with a potential person hired for that, for the economic development, correct? Is that the right terminology to spare that?
Right.
So this is the time we have to kind of figure out what eggs belong in what basket and figure out where, how the stars are going to align moving forward. That's, I truly believe this is priority number one. And it's going to be a process to do that. But if we don't start it, we won't ever finish it. So.
Right. Yeah.
I think one of the city manager's main jobs should be to make sure that the city hall, the wastewater treatment plant, the Department of Public Works, should be run, watch the way they're run. Now, all this other stuff, give it to someone else. But you need to concentrate just on the main part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think we should do,
Yeah, every department head should report to the city manager on a regular basis. And then that's, there are some things that I think should be implemented, but it all boils down to time. And the city manager's time right now.
Well, that's why we got to take this other stuff away from him.
Right.
So basically what I'm hearing is the comprehensive review of the current city manager position is first and foremost that needs to take place.
I think so.
Consensus,
so
yes.
So is that a council committee?
I think Tom has to one, determine how his time is spent and where things that would be helpful to him as a city manager if there was someone in there to take over those responsibilities, like doing the redevelopment ready community, all of the, and the DDA responsibility. Well, that is possibly going to be taken care of with a DDA.
Well, those are, all those unknowns need to be part of that discussion.
But he has to put down kind of an idea that would be really helpful to the city manager if these things were to take place. And then it has to come back to council so we can look at that and see if it's something that, how it would be doable. Because we are, the city is on the cusp of improving and becoming more viable as a city. I can see it happening. And as that happens, there are going to be more responsibilities of the city staff. And then everyone involved from any direction, whether it be the planning commission or the zoning commission, there will be more things happening that we all have to be aware of and can also take pride in if the job is done well. So we have to be ready for those, and I think that's something that Tom has to kind of let us know how we can help him achieve some of those things.
Tom, I'm going to see if I can find an app for you. It's something that I think is simple, because you usually have a smartphone on you that you can, okay, you're going in to do this.
Yeah.
Just log in your time. And then I think we can, I know,
measure.
I used to use it before, it was computer-based, but you can, you know, measure the time in it and what it exactly entails. So you can categorize, okay, this is time spent in DDA planning, this is time spent with assessing, this, you know, just to see these different responsibilities and, you know, throughout the, I think if you get a month or so of that data, that's something we can go with to see what's really, you know, chewing it up. And, like, with the DDA, it's great, you know, that we, the stuff happening downtown is awesome, but also, you know, it's a drain on your time and there's other things that we need to address. And so I just think if we had that person or somebody that could report, okay, that they're in with the meeting and the discussion, we can still help these people and, you know, achieve that goal that we have, but then just be able to condense that down and report to you with it. I mean, you know, sometimes there's a lot of talking going on and you just need to clip notes sometimes of things. And that's
sure.
Where I think, you know, time can be really valuable when there's so many other responsibilities as a manager.
I know part of this that we have here is about doing a review now, but looking at, and I'm assuming you're saying an annual review, where that's one of the suggestions here. And I would make that broader. I think one thing that we don't do for Tom as a council is we don't give him goals. We say run the city. But I think we need to be more specific on what we expect for that year, and then at the end of the year to sit down with him and said what worked, what didn't, what do we need to work on next. And I think that's part of what a performance review.
Absolutely. It's almost a planning session along with it. There's no doubt about it. And that should be done during the day. It should be done quarterly. I mean, really, there should be much more involvement with reporting back and forth in the communication line as far as that goes. the communication between the city manager and the council or staff and with the council shouldn't be every 2 weeks in a meeting. And nor do I want to micromanage anything. I want to, this is your show. You're the CEO. We're the tool to help you do that. Sure. That's what we're trying to accomplish here. But you should expect the same reporting and require the same reporting from you, the people who are underneath you. And is that communication line should be constant. And that's, I think we can get there, you know. It's going to be a change in everybody's kind of culture mindset. So what do we want to do with bullet point one? Do we want to basically take a consensus and take our next action for that bullet point and then move on to another bullet point? That'd be the best route?
I think so. I think we need to
address as many as we can in the time frame,
right,
and then keep going.
Right, and we sort of we need to sort of get a job description for Tom with weighted times of what he's spending his time on.
And
start developing it.
And what kind of timeline do we need to want to have a report back?
Well, the thing is, we've got a committee here, but in another month, Joe's going to be gone, and we'll have at least one new person on the council.
So, do you want to? That takes effect when? When is it?
November 6th.
It's an election.
Meeting after that.
Yeah, you don't get a lame duck session.
What if we have another special meeting just previous to the next council meeting? Is 2 weeks going to give you enough time to pull information together, or are you going to need a month?
I think that would be pretty ambitious to do that in 2 weeks.
Okay. So if we allow for a month, it would be the last meeting of October. If we have another special meeting, last meeting of October.
Well, yeah, we're going to need another special meeting to get to any more bullet points, to be honest with you.
Right.
We're going to have, it's going to be a special meeting, but thank you.
Well, I think we have a duty to follow through with this since we spent.
Yeah. When we made the decision to spend the money, we also made the decision we weren't going to shelf it.
Right.
Okay. We also, I know I didn't look up in the policies and book on the duties of the city manager, and one of the things, if I vaguely recall, is there was the responsibility to be involved in a lot of the different committees. And I don't know if there is a determination to go with an assistant city manager, if that would still address that, or if we have to make changes in
the policy,
the terminology used in the city manager's position. We may have to have that in front of us at the next.
Well, that's what
we can look in
it's
our.
It's got to be part of the same discussion.
Yeah.
The same discussion. Figuring out his current job duties and what he has on his plate, and we need to figure out what needs to stay on.
Okay. Yeah. I guess the question I have then, as we're working on this job description, is Tom working on this with a committee or on?
With the staff. I mean, you said earlier that I should meet with the department heads and establish criteria and their job descriptions,
yes,
their duties, and put that on paper.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with that.
I think another committee just gets in the way.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's put that as his a duty for him for the last meeting in October.
Second meeting
in October.
Okay.
You're good
yep.
with that? Is that fair enough?
Yes. You can do
that. I think it can be call questions and if you can
right.
help discover call them.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that Woody brought up is does that need to be a change in city charter?
Right.
I mean, what does city charter say about the city manager and duties?
And whether or not they need to attend all boards and commission
right.
meetings. And
yeah.
Put that in part of your report as far
right.
as that goes. The more detail you can get on what your job is, the
yeah.
easier it will be to go through that, for sure.
Well,
that is an area of relief that should be necessary as far as I'm concerned, because I do attend all boards and commissions, and
mm-hmm.
I'm a secretary for most boards and commissions,
right.
but That's a fatiguing part of being city manager for Sheboygan. If you do it right, if you have those boards and commissioners meetings on a regular basis, now there's 20 working days in a month, and I regularly meet 8 of those days in the evening. There's meetings in the evening, sometimes 9 if it's a zoning board of appeals. So almost half of the days that I work in a month, I'm here at night.
Right. So they call special meetings.
Yeah, but as city manager, if you were relieved of some of those sideways duties, mm-hmm. The being involved, having that firsthand knowledge of what the different committees are working on and doing those, that I see that as being part of city manager, knowing what's going on in the city.
Sure.
Being aware of that. And you kind of have to get an idea on which is going to be more of a responsibility for keeping track of what's going on in the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you do all this extra stuff at night, that's fatigue, and fatigue takes away from the rest of your duties.
You don't produce as well. Yep.
Yep. All right. Since we have, I'd like to at least get through this document, so I'm going to move on to the next one and just bring up the subject.
Okay.
And try and get at least touch on each of these items that we have in front of us tonight. So the next bullet point we brought in was talking about the city's public safety department and what was the report back from Romberg.
So basically, he felt that needed more in-depth analysis, but he did state that based on the interviews and the current what his analysis came up with, he did believe that the current setup of public safety was not working and that it should be separated into two departments, both police and fire. And that's another city charter thing. So I think there's some other city charter things when we talk about commissions and stuff too. So it's going to be kind of wrapped all into one thing. So that was kind of the main thing on the public safety end of things. I also think, just based on other conversations that's been shared with council and management, that training is a big thing. And you're going to see that theme throughout this whole document, that there's going to, that we want to have professional development plans for staff and the ability to attend training and seminars and conferences so that they can stay up to speed on current trends and technologies. I think on the public safety end of thing, there was comments about specialized training for certain areas as far as, you know, cases and stuff.
Well, a little bit is that, and I'm not as, I guess, up to speed as far as how the charter reads, but it looks like that we're a public safety department, which is the fire. Police and fire are performed by the same individuals. Is that ideally what that means?
Yes.
Or it's the same department and run by the same department?
It's a combined department. The director of public safety manages both of those. I mean, he oversees the police department, oversees the fire department.
The chief's here. So, chief, in the past, were police officers, firefighters, and did they intermingle a little bit? As far as that goes, I know that police respond to fires and do. I mean, I've seen it, but it's one of those.
They're trained in firefighting. Not necessarily.
I guess the first question is how far in the past are you talking?
Well,
you know, because the. To give you the history of the concept of how it merged from separate police and fire was back in the early 80s, where we used to have 4 fire driver custodians. At that time, the city wanted to trim that operation down. There were a lot of issues, and they did that in two phases. First two positions, then two positions later. Under that setup, the police and fire departments were merged by ordinance, not by charter. And that was in October of 1984 was when it was officially voted on. And then the responsibility initially was to have police officers trained in driving the trucks.
Gotcha.
And then later the police union came in and said, well, if we're driving the trucks, we should know how to use them, how to run the equipment. And from that point, then it was decided that we would train the police how to be firemen. And there were, you know, were some firemen that would then, or police that would then be hired later would then also be trained to be firemen. That's kind of how the concept started. Years ago, before that, prior to the last 40 years, it was volunteer firemen and four or five police officers running two separate departments.
Gotcha. Cool. Thanks for the history. Mm-hmm.
Chief, before you walk away, is it true that the police no longer have to be trained as firemen?
It's not a mandated requirement.
Okay. And that's been recent? When was that change?
There's some discussion in here that there was a contract change, but I had not had the opportunity to check that out yet.
I think there was. I'm pretty certain I remember the last time we... with the police contract, that was one of the negotiated that came out.
Yeah, and I vaguely remember.
Yeah,
when I did.
I'd have to look for sure, but I'm pretty sure.
The specifics about
it. Like I said, I have just got the document, so I haven't had time to research that.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And at no time were firefighters ever trained as policemen.
It was an offer, but nobody wanted to go there.
Okay. I know in some cities that that's the way they used to do it.
Well, there's different levels of public safety.
Yeah.
And the level we're at right now is what the council chose back then. But there are some, like Petoskey is full public safety. They don't use volunteers hardly at all anymore. But they also have medical. They run ambulance.
Great.
Okay. So to kick off, at least from what from the Romberg analysis, what I think that the committee feels like we should do is figure out what's the best route to go, either operate as public safety, as their combined police and fire, or separate, and figure out, then there should be a cost of that, and what works the best based on what the staff feels. The fire department is going to have a say in it. The police officers have a say in it. And, of course, the chief and city manager have a say in how this operates. And I think that's where we went with it, as far as that goes. I know that when the interviews were, there were some concerns on how that was displayed. Interviews with Romberg, that was displayed as far as that goes.
If you just look at, on bullet point 2 of Romberg survey, if you look at the last sentence, if you can read that up there.
Yeah, staff morale issues were clearly apparent in an area of concern. We got to fix that.
So, and it just said separating police and fire into two distinct independent departments is the first positive step toward addressing staff training and resources needs and enhancing service capabilities. So that's basically where it shakes out. And again, this goes back to you guys and, direction. But that was the direction of the
organizational analysis and what they feel should happen.
Yeah, in my opinion, if there are deficiencies in police and fire, whether it's morale, training, if you're going to have a police department, best of the best. Fire department, best of the best. Lives are at stake. Both the workers and the tax citizens.
True.
And surrounding areas. So I think that there's no doubt that the chief and everybody involved in both of those units right now want to provide that. The
sure.
best of the best. I think mm-hmm. that you wouldn't get involved in that line of work or volunteer if you didn't feel that way. So how can we make it most efficient for them to get the training, to get all that the best way? I think that's my take on that.
Okay, a couple questions that I have. With the police, their full-time positions, the fire department is a volunteer fire department. Is the chief, the fire chief, is he an employee or a volunteer?
He's an employee.
The current chief is both.
Yeah. Well,
he
gets a salary to be fire chief.
Okay.
But he
now, if the two entities were separated, what happens to the volunteer police force? I mean, the volunteer fire force. If it's separated, how does that affect the way we have things right now in terms of giving the service to the community?
It's pretty much operated like that now.
It is, yeah.
The management of the department over the fire. You had a fire chief who was. Other than fire chief, he was not a full-time city employee. There's still two separate budgets. There's the fire chief, myself as police chief director of public safety. The fire chief primarily runs the volunteer fire department, and it's said volunteer, but it's technically part paid. They get paid so much per call. He does the fire issues and stuff. I support those issues. I operate primarily as a volunteer too. Go to all the drills, go to all the fire calls that were available to make and stuff. Where I come in primarily is to help with policy and budgeting and purchasing and speccing equipment and trucks and those type of things that, Don's a full-time city employee. He didn't always, he's gonna have to work extra time in the wee hours of the night to try to have to do some of that stuff. And I don't think that, Don's new to the game as being in charge, but I don't think we have those issues. There's some issues as far as training, attendance, and those type of things that Don and I've already talked about that we need to bring together. But what you don't end up getting is the full-time manager when somebody walks through the door to say, I need to see someone from the fire side.
So there's no full-time employee of the fire department.
Correct.
But you're saying that it would not be a difficult thing to separate the two?
It would not be difficult, but I would not recommend it based on staffing levels and the hard time we have getting full-time police officers nowadays and the harder time we have getting and keeping and training part-paid volunteer firemen.
Okay, we need to know those kind of logistics. It's fine to get this on paper, but knowing
there's a lot more than what's said here that you need to know.
Okay.
Right. And there's more discussion. And I think, I guess what we're looking for is what does it take for us to have a heartier volunteer force who's trained up to speed? I guess we don't have the answer.
Believe me, we have volunteers that are trained up to speed. I mean, these guys go through a 6-month course with a very rigorous testing at the end. And some guys have to redo it. But, you know, I'm proud to say that we have a good group of people. There are some guys who always want more, always want a little bit more, and it all takes money. And as you know, I bought 6 pieces of fire apparatus in the last 39 years. And some of that stuff, I think, you know, we had to fight tooth and nail to get it. But we eventually got it. And we have, you know, there's a lot more stuff to get. Like everything else, we just need more funding.
Right.
And the budgets, you know, it said one of the comments in here was combining the budgets or separating the budgets. The budgets are basically still separate. The big difference is full-time manpower and benefits on the police side versus, you know, the amount of money it takes, I think, $50,000 or so a year to cover the fire calls. And knock on wood, we've been fortunate the last several years that we haven't had a large amount of large fires. You know, we've had, I think, less than double digits for the last 5 or 6 years as far as actual structures. But when the bell rings, we're able to put the guys together. The big problem we have right now, we've just added 2. We thought we had 3, but apparently one's not staying with us. So we added 2, but we have room for a few more. And you have to, you know, be careful selecting. We have to, you know, look at their records and everything, and then make sure they're committed and make sure they have a job that they can leave at the sound of the bell. Because we can't have too many guys, you know, we can't have 10 guys that can't leave the job in the daytime if we need them at a fire at the paper mill or something. So
right.
There's just a lot of issues that you know, Don and I have talked about a lot of those when he started.
So, even though we have an ordinance, which, you know, to adopt ordinances, you have to have public hearings. To dissolve ordinances, you have to have public hearings. But in the case of the Department of Public Safety ordinance, it appears, and I don't have Stephen Lindsay's opinion fully on this yet, but it appears that we can make a management decision to separate those departments without dissolving the ordinance. There's a clause in there that allows the city manager to make that decision make that change without having to go through public hearings.
The information I'm not sure of is, are they separate now, or how separate are they? And the other thing that we're hearing from this report is the morale issue, and I don't know what that is and what needs to be addressed. And I guess that's what our mission here is. And I don't have answers for that yet.
Well, I guess, you know, the committee went with Romberg's recommendation to separate police and fire based on his analysis and his findings. That was his recommendation as the first step to solve some of these problems. So,
well, and I know the conversation regarding police and fire we've had with Tom in the past. So we need a report. We need something to say, yep, it's going okay, and the fire chief, the police chief, everybody, this is the way it is, and everybody's on board. Somehow we have to address it. And I realize we go back to bullet point one, that we got to get that organized in order to get these timely. And the main concern with this is, when it comes to police and fire, I have only one concern, not if it's separate. I really care less. I don't want anything to do with it. But I want to make sure that our guys are happy to go do it, because they're putting their life on the line when they do it. That's more than anything.
Sure.
Those two, police and fire, you got to be ready to go and feel comfortable as far as that goes. I'm sure most everybody does. I'm not saying that, but that's what I want to make sure that we have given it all we can do to make sure that that happens. That's as far as that goes. So I don't know what we want as a council to have report-wise or some sort of a...
Well, I would like there to be some discussion on there's a point in here, here are some areas of the discussion that should be examined. And the very bottom item, item B, potential exploration of contracting police services to Sheboygan County.
Yeah, that was brought up. It was my understanding that that was not, I guess I don't have the history of it, but it was my understanding, it was brought up because that was an exploration that happened before, and some, it kind of stopped. So that point was brought up again, so it was put on here for discussion again.
Well, okay. It stopped, the reason it stopped is because the people didn't want it, and the county didn't want it.
Okay.
And as far as I'm concerned, it shouldn't even been put in here.
I'm in agreement with Juan.
The council at that time voted to explore that, and we were proceeding down that path, and the county was the one who put a stop to it.
Yep.
And but so at the time.
And the community didn't want to do that.
Well, we had mixed reactions.
Yeah.
But at the time, we also had a state police post, which is no longer there.
Right.
So I think it's really short-sighted to even consider.
I think it's very short-sighted to not consider all options that would best serve the people of the city of Sheboygan. And I'm not saying that the contracting police services with the county ever was the best option, but exploring that option is all we were doing. Okay. To not lose service, to not change anything other than the, at the time, it was management, and combining those was less cost for not losing any service. So to be short-sighted and to not look into something as a potential option is the wrong idea. Maybe that it does need to come directly off of there once we looked into it, but that's the discussion we had once, and it got stopped. There was public feedback, and the county stopped it, but it was not a council stop. But I don't want to get into that discussion. That's okay. As we look at the public safety / fire, in this regard, it would be public safety, we're going to find out if there's deficiencies that with the way it's running right now. It's not easy to talk about. It's not pointing fingers at any person or any department. It's let's figure out if it's going the right way. And if it's not, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But we've talked about it with Tom in the past, in the near past, that we need to hear some, there's been some concerns going down there. We get a report from Romberg and Stover who interviewed members of each of those departments, and there are concerns there. Without us looking into it further is not doing our due diligence as a council. That's where we're at.
Okay, what do we have to do to look at it further?
I think there's a couple elements here. I don't see anything like a job description for the fire chief. And I don't see like an organizational chart of the departments and how they're separated.
Okay, it's in the back of your Romberg.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a question here about ordinance or charter. You say that it's a simple change if we wanted to go that route.
It can be a management decision, yeah. Yes.
But I just think we need to dive deeper in this and answer some of the questions that came.
I think a report coming really from Tom.
Yeah.
After he's talked with the department heads, each and staff, and come up with a here's the recommendation as far as that goes, and what that timeline is.
And the job descriptions are right in the ordinance.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. One thing too that you know, unique to this public safety right now is I think of all departments has been the highest turnover we've had any department in the city, and you know, in my time at council, we've had a lot of retirements hit, we've had some new right. staff fired.
Yes.
So that's another thing it's another dynamic of this whole conversation right there too.
Yeah, yes, it is, and how it's managed, and
I just personally I just want to see, you know, people that are coming onto the force, you know, well, I want to keep them around, you know, that they are, the police officers are vital to our community, and
be a face for our community as well, and you know, we want to keep them safe, comfortable, and happy to be here in Sheboygan and serve the public, and you know, hopefully keep them here for a lot of years and not just be a training ground for them to
exactly
go to greener pastures somewhere else for better pay. You know, there's got to be some more things that make people want to stay here.
Sure.
And I think we can do that.
All right. And in the sake of getting through this list, can we move on to the next thing?
Sure. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you. So the next one is the retained clerk treasurer organizational structure. And this is just changed, at least the person there.
Yes.
I don't know if you've had enough time to do an analysis of the department and changes you might want to make.
In my position directly at this point, no. I mean, there are a lot of job duties, a lot of responsibilities that come with that position, especially being a combined position. But I have office support, so that helps. I've got Judy and Janet and Deb who all take
right.
on a portion
and
of that.
I think that's part of it is that you're a department head, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not only your part and how you fit in, but all those people that work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you envisioning changes there or haven't had enough experience to really analyze that?
I would say I probably don't have enough experience at this point, but I've discussed with the girls already that I'd like to sit with them individually and find out what their duties are. And we've talked about reorganizing some of the job duties and just cross-training in general. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
One question that pops up, and I think this hits a lot of the different points on here, but, you know, going into City Hall here, like, you know, it's a little dated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to furniture, when it comes to the technology, all that kind of stuff. I mean,
is that an age
group?
No. I'm talking about the. Hey. Look at me. I'm just talking about supplies and, you know, equipment, just the layout in general. I mean, there's been a lot. It's came a long way. And when's the last time our offices have had any kind of renovation or.
Probably the 70s.
I know we're looking at dollar bills here,
ago,
you know, but
the hallway out here
yeah.
is painted.
Painted the hallway.
Rich doesn't work in her hallway.
We need electrical plugs for laptops up here.
Well, yep. And that's part of a capital improvement plan that comes from
sure.
the office side, which once again is another hat that the city manager should have.
But it's something that Bridget brings from her experience beforehand.
Sure.
You know, you've worked in this kind
it's
of environment,
delegated.
And you
yeah.
understand what works, and you know how things be organized, laid out. And that's big. I just got a brand new lab. You know, first time the room's been updated since the '60s of the high school, and it's made a world of difference as far as my daily working environment for my students, everybody else in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of it just comfort.
Yeah.
Sure.
But we have a monitor.
I'm talking about within here.
And we have
the time capsule that they work in every day.
I mean, we could make some minor changes that would be inexpensive, but would probably go a long way.
And that's what I'm getting at,
mm-hmm.
right?
And I know you've got one of these stand-up computer stands. I mean, things like that can make the work environment
better
for
yeah,
employees.
The other thing we need to look at is the office laid out
yeah.
properly to service the customers? And you know, I've looked at it in the past. Like, for example, like the city assessor's office, which was used by me exclusively. Now we have Clayton in there, and he's here in the morning. But that office basically sits empty.
There's a lot of space.
Should we move?
Yeah.
Should we move Debbie from the back and/or Kirsten and get him up here where they can. You know, be in front of the public.
Clayton hasn't moved all his trophies in there yet.
No, at all. We're using that as a shade to block the sun.
No, it that might be something we look at. Is just in general the office layout. Like, okay, this would be like a better environment space wise for this department and whatever.
Sure.
You know, because we can't really expand as much more, but you can on the footprint that we have. Maybe make some not so costly changes that I think will make things more efficient and everything for the overall environment in there.
But I think it ties back into what we decide to do as far as reorganizing the office with people-wise, what people would be doing, because then you want it to flow well and have that laid out. So mm-hmm. it all ties back to that.
Continue on the discussion.
Yeah, sure. Well, those people who are the first line of dealing with the public should be in the closest to the public space.
Right.
Yeah, so that would be Deb and
Kirsten.
Judy.
We need to say Judy's
class.
What, Judy?
We have looked at that too, as far as the security.
Yeah.
In up front.
We have none.
When we have a cat.
And a cat.
Do you want to be trained as a police officer?
Actually, sometimes we need it. But there's no cameras, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I should be cameraed. I could be
lifting dough all day long.
Or if somebody were to come in, there's nothing. But Brenda, who doesn't take money, sits behind glass over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she works for the police, so she's automatically covered.
Well, see, that's all well taken. I mean, as far as that organization, security. Mm-hmm. You know,
that needs to be part of this my place too. Mm-hmm. For sure, that needs to all need to be part of this overall discussion.
And the next item here, retain the Department of Public Works organizational structure. So, any comments on that?
Yeah, I guess Robert said the current structure is working decent the way it is now. But, you know, we do understand the workload of the position because of water and sewer infrastructure. And the committee and Romberg encourages the use of technologies such as video cameras, just as we were talking about, to monitor for security and stuff like that. So that might be a, I guess, 10,000-foot view is the whole theme of this, is to get department heads and staff together thinking about stuff, how to improve their day-to-day operations, what stuff is needed. So there wasn't a whole lot. A lot of it does talk about adding or drilling down budget line items to facilitate planning for, you know, training and equipment needs going down the road, because that budget document and also the entire year's planning document, and when it's the current makeup of the budget right now, it's hard to navigate. I know I've been saying that a lot, but if it's more, and I think I've heard Jason say it too, that it's hard for him to figure out what's what when it comes to expenses and budgeting on his line item. So I think that's part of the whole process too, is because that can be used as their planning document also.
And I had a question about budget now. Ken had been doing budget, but Tom, you're doing that now?
Yes. Yeah. And we collectively have always done the budget, but yes.
But
and Bridget.
I guess as Bridget gets into this job more, she might have ideas on how the look of that budget is for us, or reports that are derived from the software. Mm-hmm. I think for us it looked too technical in trying to determine what our budget lines were and how they were working.
What is
out.
What, and
okay.
Yeah. We can break that out then.
Even color coding might help.
Yeah.
Squares and graphs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They can be done.
So, Jason, then, as you're working on all these projects, plans for more staff, less staff?
I don't plan to add any more staff. What I do need to do is, as these projects progress, I need to improve delegation. I've been working 3 years with notes. I've got quite a few of them, you know, as an example to you of what we write each other little notes, you know, for everything. It's a nightmare for me to do this, and then to get these notes and try to digitize them. So that's why when I talk to you about computer maintenance management systems, it would be ideal for me to not be writing stuff down, to be able to send work orders to the individuals and possibly include the city hall, the city council, Tom, A lot of these things don't necessarily need me to be the middleman to tell somebody that water's leaking. These guys have been trained and know what to do even when I'm not here. So these work orders could streamline, especially if I'm busy doing something that somebody else can't do, overseeing construction or something else that requires my license. So that's the biggest need. If I had that, that would free up the time to oversee these projects. Without that, I'm stuck doing more administration and a painful process that I think is necessary.
Do you have a wish list of how you want to accomplish that?
Basically, just I've been doing research. Today I went to a class and got to poll a lot of operators on what CMMSs they use and which ones they like. Those kind of things are helpful to me because once we make a commitment and I enter all our data, we're kind of stuck using what I chose. So I'm trying to not have buyer's remorse when I select a company for you guys to latch your data onto. But these, I need this also before, like the wastewater improvements or the water improvements. These are my maintenance programs. I'm going to enter all of the preventative maintenance that the manufacturers recommend into these. These are going to automatically spit out. I don't need Outlook reminders to tell me to do this annual service. I want those right in there, coming out to the people doing it. I don't need to be in the middle of it, and I don't need to get an alert on my phone stating that tell so-and-so that we got to do this or call this or that. It takes steps out of my day. And just that would free up the time for me to see some of these projects.
So do you have to train up staff to use that software?
No, but we currently only have two terminals to access between all of my employees. But the bigger purchase would be just the software in general, you know, for that CMMS, because, you know, supplying a couple more terminals isn't that expensive, and the computers don't have any legacy costs, so you know, I think providing more terminals for people to check their stuff would be helpful. And some of these do have the ability to send the work orders to their phones, but everybody carries personal phones right now. So I'm reluctant to start having these work orders sent to their phones, even though they're easy enough to, I have this many hours, I did this, and they can close it right on their phone without writing something in a physical piece of paper, and I won't have to print the paper. That would be the advantage of that. It goes directly to where they are. It might save them a drive. It might save them some writing. But other than that, if we don't have use of phones or a tablet or something to that effect, I will be printing out paper. I'll be using toner. These guys will be writing stuff down. But it's still the best method of tracking maintenance and protecting your investment and also reducing my administration time and delegation.
The next bullet point on here is about integrating the city ice rink with Parks and Rec Department, and I think that's being part of the rec committee now. The recreation
yes.
Going through that planning.
Right. We are looking at a new recreation plan and some options. One of the biggest thing in that recreation plan is looking at a recreational authority. We would like to establish a recreational authority with the city of Sheboygan and multiple townships. That's kind of been met with some resistance, but my opinion is that if we cannot get the county or the townships on board to organize a multi-unit government recreational authority, that the city should just do it themselves. So that we should establish a recreational authority, which would allow us to levy a millage. Which is going to be controversial, obviously, but we need more funding to run our recreation department. There's no question about it. So we have to do something to provide that funding.
I think there's more than one option on getting there, but I think you're right, and it should be shared by everybody who's using it.
Yes, that would be the best arrangement, certainly, to have the townships participate in helping us fund the recreational opportunities that we have in our community.
That's, we won't know that until we have really a rec plan and direction in that regard.
Yes. Right? So which we were anticipating that recreation plan to be completed in the spring, but I think we're ramping that up a little bit, and I think we will have a draft recreation plan completed before the end of the year. So we're trying to push that along as quickly as we can so we can have that.
All right. So do we think we need any more on this?
Well, I'm not sure how that's addressing the recommendations of the study, though. I mean, I think that's the long-term view. But short term, I think there's things that need.
Well, these are things that need to get that funding and everything was there under that structure. The stuff still we need to have this anyway.
Right, we don't have an inventory, or maybe we do. We just haven't seen it. And there's some items in here that we're looking for more information.
Yeah.
So you're saying let's go through that list, get that information.
Correct.
Work with the Rec Commission.
Yeah.
Maintain a capital improvement plan. And this is something, are we doing a 5-year plan now?
6-year plan.
Six-year.
Which is a requirement of redevelopment communities. Typically, capital improvement plans work 5 years, but the MEDC and redevelopment communities criteria require a 6-year plan. And we do have that in place. It's been approved by council, and I think there's a suggestion about, you know, getting the planning commission more involved in that, and that's fine. I don't take a lot of input from the planning commission when we communicate about the capital improvement plan, but I really rely on the department heads and staff to help me prioritize what we need to spend money on for the future. And capital improvement plans, for lack of a better word, are somewhat of a wish list. It's like our current 6-year plan has $24 million of expenditures. That's obviously not realistic to be able to spend that money over 6 years, but you put them in the plan because they have to be in a plan if you're going to get grant funding. That's the first thing that the MEDC or the USDA will ask you is that the wishes of the council and the city? Is this something that's in your capital improvement plan?
How often does council update the plan? How often do we readopt it every 6 years? But do we morph it between?
We can edit it. I mean, it was adopted in 2015. And then we adopted it again this year, 3 years. But we didn't make any changes to it. It was originally a 5-year plan in 2015, and so we went through it pretty extensively. The staff did, and the department heads, and adopted it again this year. But yeah, we should review that. We make any changes to it, and should come back to the council with any of those changes, because certainly things change. Things get completed, and equipment needs and that type of stuff change over time. So
I'm a little confused. If it's a 6-year plan, shouldn't we be reviewing it every year so it's always 6 years out? If we do it every 3 years, then you've got a plan that's only 3 years out.
Right.
For water sewer, it's mandated that I do it every year annually and submit it along with our fiscal year.
Okay.
That's it, yeah.
That's the DEQ
requirement.
Yeah, that's part of, I mean, yours is incorporated into the
master
thing, but I'm just wondering if we should be looking at that every year.
And just add a year to it.
Year to it. Otherwise, it really isn't a 6-year plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our recommendation was to do an annual review of the capital improvement.
Right. All right.
Makes sense.
develop an information technology plan for the city. We sort of addressed some of this already.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff ties together, really.
Right now, you're doing a lot of your IT support through not necessarily a contract, but it's an outside vendor.
Right, yep.
And is that the plan you want to go with, or are you looking at trying to get somebody in the house that's dedicated?
Well, that could be an option. I mean, if we're looking at adding a position, if you have an assistant city manager, again, it might be a combination of somebody that has information technology experience that can help with that aspect of managing the city.
Do you have enough things that a person...
No. To have a full-time staff person working on information technology, no, I don't think so.
There'd be times when it'd be very intensive, and then other times you wouldn't need any help.
Right.
It's just another hat. We have to find who's had
it. Another thing, too, a lot of this stuff has changed to where it's you don't really need to do it in-house. Most of their stuff runs online.
Yes.
So most of the software updates are pushed out automatically through who we get it through.
But it's the knowledge to get it all, to continue it. To
right.
Keep, that's the training.
Yeah.
And we have basically two contracted agencies right now, IT Right, which handles our network. They back up our system every day. Mm-hmm. And we use them for, virus protection, and we'll call them if we do get a PC get hit with a virus and so forth. And the same with BSNA. BSNA is... for software support is outstanding. I mean, they help us with, and we basically exclusively use BSNA software for most operations.
Right. Or and they probably don't allow anybody else to fiddle around with
that. Right. Software. Yep. So today the technology they have, they can remote in and work on your PC from Lansing.
Usually it's just hardware needs, like. Something goes down, replacing that, or fixing a part on a copy machine, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I still think this falls under, this being interested in to investigate is if we're looking at efficiency, because IT would go into this if you were to renovate anything, to see if there's maybe through the MML who we found Robert through, is there if somebody comes in and looks at what we have and say, here. Here's a shelf-ready plan for you guys to, or shovel-ready, let's say that way.
Just like Jason's.
Yeah.
What we put in here is we wanted to designate somebody on staff to lead the effort to do this, and then draft a plan that addresses the current needs of staff and consider future needs, identify who currently does the IT support, and potentially draft a RFP for IT support for City Hall for contracts.
Right now, I would say that, Tom, it'd be fair to say that you do that. You would be that person. If we had somebody had that job description in the city, it falls on you currently.
It does.
So when you discuss and put your job, that needs to go on there, and where I think that's where that would go. This would be another hat, you want to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it stays in the city manager.
All right. Develop a set of key performance metrics to facilitate oversight and management of the city's operations and services. This is sort of diving down on some of the broader discussions we've had tonight.
Yeah. I think, we've had the discussion before as council an asset management tool for each department, and this is basically a similar function to that. Basically, the performance metric is basically each department identifying goals that they want to achieve on an annual basis, and then at the end of the year, reviewing those goals and see if they met them.
Or what happened that they didn't
meet. Well, it's typically a part of a goal is it should be achievable.
Right.
A way to measure it.
Yes.
And also, when you create a goal, like, what do you need to accomplish that goal? And that's where we fall.
Correct. So, to do this performance metrics, is this something that people need to be trained to do? Is it?
Yeah, find a training source to attend. That's the 1.8.
Okay. All right. Nothing else on that?
I think it's going to be an annual thing, I think, with the city manager and each department head to, you know, go over, set key performance goals, you know, for each department. And each department should set their own goals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of each fiscal year, you know, then they meet with the city manager and say, okay, here's your goals for the year. Where are things at? Give me a report, you know. That's the concept behind it, anyway.
Okay. Next item, to continue to build and sustain active city boards and commissions. Just as an aside, I saw we got a resignation letter from the Rec Commission.
Yes, Ken Sheldon is on the agenda.
And I guess what I would say to council is that I know I go out and recruit people. They may not consider it or volunteer themselves, but I've gone up to people and say, would you consider doing this because I think you would be a good fit for it?
I think more often to be reminded at maybe even council meetings, even if we don't need a discussion, but even a bullet point that does it, it's just no action, that it tells us what vacancies there are and what needs to be filled. Just because that's, and people in the audience can see that on the agenda or in the minutes.
Sure.
That it's just more exposure because that's how they're going to get filled. This one is almost like hard to fill seats on these if people aren't willing to sit on them. But
and I think one of the things that we, you know, not all the boards and commissions are active. So one of the things that we put down was for each of them to have its bylaws reviewed and the procedures reviewed. Each board and commission should have its own bylaws. If they don't, they should develop some. So that could be an opportunity for these boards and commissions to have a reason to meet, even if there's nothing on the agenda, so that they can at least get the discussion going and probably operate. Right.
Well, and we talked about standardizing some of those bylaws because some commissions have a way to address inactive members and other ones don't.
Some have to live in city limits, some do not.
Right.
There are a lot of differences that could be.
There is, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Review and pursue current human resources best practices.
Yeah, this was a pretty weak area under his analysis. Who is the HR person? You. Okay.
No hat.
Not a reflection of you.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So basically it just says that, you know, there needs to be some type of procedures put in place, some training, and maybe develop an employee handbook if we don't have one. Does the city have one?
Yeah, it's very dated, though.
42.
Yeah, very dated.
Time to revisit it, for sure.
Right, I think we really need, it's not a human resources department.
No.
And so we have to be realistic with this hat that Bridget's wearing.
That's why the timeline is 2020.
Yeah, because it's making sure everyone's W-4s are in and all the Social Security payments go in, retirement payments.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot
but
to it.
You're not doing counseling for people and
right.
Other stuff human resources department might do.
Yeah. But we could always add more things out.
Yeah.
You could.
Communication channels and working relationships within the city. And I think some of this might be like what Jason had talked about with electronically communicating.
Yeah, that's C. And that,
yeah.
I think that each one of these bullet points under this is as crucial as the one before it or the one after it. It is, this is how, this is just an outline of how you, how mm-hmm. it should happen on, in a happy, healthy business, I guess. And I don't know how else to put that. It's like, if it doesn't operate, like if the communication line is broken, it's on Tom to fix it. Stat. And whatever has to happen. These are just some ideas right. as far as that goes. But
well, sometimes you have, I'll pick on Jason again here, but the procedurally to do things sometimes when you've got two or three different things you got to, steps in the process, you got to drive point A to point B to do it. And I see this in my job a lot, is that sometimes I say, screw it, I'll do it myself, ask for forgiveness later. Because some things are timely, they got to get done. And sometimes there's really, the administrator's gone that I need to stamp for approval on, and then I got to put a work order in, this and that. It could be a 2-week process for something that needed to be done yesterday. And that's one thing we've got to improve on, working with the short staff that we have and serving the public. We've got to find a way to do this that can still be managed and tracked, but where you don't have to like physically be running around like a chicken with your head cut off most days.
I think this is something that in the discussion with the city manager's review, this fits in that as well. And how things operate right now, and how do you see it as the city manager that they need to operate better? What communication lines are broken and how do we fix it?
And the last item on this list is monitor staff salary levels. And this is to say that we've always played catch-up with staff salary levels. Sometimes they've gotten left behind as we've negotiated other contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So the recommendation is that we do this
in annual review.
Annual review. Okay. Any comments on that? All right. We got 5 minutes to take a break before we have to move back to the meeting, if everyone's okay with that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all. Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Support.
Jason.
Yeah.
Well,
a little bit over there or now?
I didn't put them out yet. Are you talking about the agendas?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't put them out for the public yet.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll just have to give me 1 minute here.
No, just people were asking.